I wanted to start by just thanking NatNat for the opportunity to be on the Lift Oneself podcast. And I'm so honored and grateful to be part of the 1 year anniversary celebration. And what was most meaningful for me about doing the podcast with NatNat is that many of the listeners know that when you're in NatNat's presence, the truth comes out very seamlessly. And so it was a really profound experience for me to speak about my past abuse and some of the energy that I was holding around the fear and the not enoughness that was the unworthiness that was residing in my body. And every time I can speak it out loud to others, it clears it out a little bit more. So all the work I've done on my inner child and the trauma I've suffered and endured, it is always amazing when you can speak it out publicly. So that was a really profound experience for me. And I know that NatNat has a gift in holding the space and really having an authentic and honest conversation. And so our conversation was just that, authentic and honest and real and raw. And I've listened to many of the other episodes, and I know that that's the theme for the year. So thank you again, NatNat, for having the courage to create the podcast and letting the inside out wisdom guide you to that moment where you started the podcast and made it through a whole entire year. And congratulations, because many podcasts do not make it through the first year. So thank you for showing up regularly and helping us see the truth. It was a pleasure to be on the Lift Oneself podcast. Thank you.
Hello, how are you?
I'm well, Shalini. Did I say it right?
Yay! Perfect.
Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited.
Me too. Me too. This is the first time that we actually interact and have a one-on-one conversation.
It is. I know. Yes. I noticed that.
Yes, and I'm excited for it.
Thanks for reaching out.
Yes, for sure. When intuition hits me, I'm like, okay, speak and just go out there and see what magic is going to happen. So,
oh God, I just love that so much. That's where I am in my life today. So I resonate with what you're saying so well.
Yeah. Let's take a breath together.
Okay.
Take a deep breath in and slowly release. How's your heart doing?
It's beating a little fast, a little bit right now. Yeah, I'm noticing that.
What can you thank COVID for?
Slowing down. Maybe doing something that I had been wanting to do for a long time, which was learning to say no.
Such a big thing.
If I'm totally honest about that, yeah. I worked on getting to know my body and knowing and hearing the messages that it had for me. And I would say getting out in nature. I did a lot of sitting and reading and working in the backyard. I did a lot of walking because that's all we could do to get outside. Yeah. And I think that was, and I have maintained it and keep up with it. And it's been something that I continue because it's so calming and grounding and connecting to myself and connecting to, I mean, Mother Nature, like I never have before in my entire life.
So. Yeah. You've embodied it because there's a lot of times that we put things into practice, yet once it's embodied, it's a lived experience that you don't even have to question. It's like, that's the necessity that I need to amplify the energy in my life.
Yeah, that's 100% right. I think I really just, with time slowing down, time, whatever that means.
Yeah.
I really was, you know, put in positions and spaces like many of us to really get to know myself a lot better, get to know some of my harder emotions, frustration, anger, not communicating well, not asking for my needs, not knowing what I needed. So those were things that many of us learned with families home and kids home, and just, it felt like making one meal after another and just cleaning up after yourself and others. It just, It was like on speed dial, you know, we were in a speed mode. That's all we were doing. So I had to really sit down and get to know myself on what I needed and how to ask for what I needed also.
Yeah. And for the listeners, you're in New York. So you were in the epicenter of a lot of things that were going on. And so how did you navigate through that anxiety, through that loss, through the fear, the adjusting? Take a moment, because it's
a reflection. Question.
Yeah, it's a reflection. And, you know, environments have an energy charge. So us not being in the epicenter, we would hear about it and, you know, we would get our own little things. But being there, you know, our nervous systems send out signals all the time, and anxiety is very contagious. And when there's something that we didn't know anything about, it was invisible. And it was, you know, a lot of people were dying. And so I think that's a question that needs to be asked, just like 9/11, when people were there, it's like, how did you process that?
Whew. Truthfully, maybe a little bit of denial. Like, I remember when my kids started staying home, I was like, oh, they'll be back to school in 2 weeks. Or lack of understanding. Maybe that's what we didn't know. We couldn't see it. We couldn't touch it. We were getting information from various places. And so I think we stayed home. We were one of the first area schools in our area to stay home. So, or because we had a teacher that was diagnosed very, very, very early on and or tested positive, I should say. And I literally didn't understand and just was like, oh, the kids will be back in 2 weeks. And then April came around, and I don't even think I really sort of grasped the gravity of what was happening till like mid-April, when I heard like California schools were shutting down. I'm like, oh, that's weird. And I think that I went into some form of like, okay, this is what it is. And I still don't think I fully grasped what that really meant, you know? And I was, definitely watching the news on, you know, just like everybody else, like really trying to get information. I felt mostly like I just didn't understand. So the fear was there. I didn't understand, adjusting to what was happening in my own, you know, walls, my own home, and what was happening outside. So I think we were home a lot. And then, like I said, it was walking, and there was that fear of going into the grocery store. That was, I remember, because lots of food and gloves. And I never really went into like having food delivered to me, but that was like, I felt like between walking and caring for everybody at home and just going to get food, like those were like how we were like kind of surviving. And I think what I realized, if I'm totally honest too, that I reached a point where I was like, okay, enough of the news. And I actually would say, I'm going back a couple of years now, so I don't really remember because I've remained this way, is I stopped watching so much news. Mm-hmm. I stopped getting information. I felt like it was too much. I wasn't sure what was accurate, and I was just going to go by what I needed and what my family needed on a day-to-day basis. You know, the numbers were going up. It was scary for many people. And I think I just was really tapping into, okay, we really don't know. So I'm going to do the best I can in every moment that I have. And I don't know how much I went into like scared. I don't know if I really went there. I went more into like blocking out some too much information, blocking out too much of the fear that was being given, and just knowing that I had could do what I could do. You know, mask up. We believed in masking up. So masking up, you know, taking care of ourselves with, you know, whatever it was, whether it was hand sanitizers or, you know, and gloves and things like that. And just doing the best that we could to be safe for our family. And then, of course, not seeing, you know, others who were of lower immunities or older age and things like that. And slowing down in the home. That's really what we did. And I think the best thing I ever did for myself was shut off the news.
Yeah.
Shut it off. I said, there's anything important for me to get, I'm sure I will get it. It will reach me somehow. Yeah. And I still do that today. So that has not changed. And But I feel like, you know, when the war started with Russia and Ukraine, there was a little time where I was, you know, really kind of watching it and just, I don't know, feeling into it. And then you feel for the people and you watch, maybe that's, you know, us being so caring and empathic and a little bit of like shock, you know, but then, you know, at the same time, releasing a little bit and, you know, and just being with what is happening in the world, you know, and doing what I can to have nonviolent communication in my home and, you know, and things like that. So I would say, really at the end of the day, being in the epicenter was hard because it was like a shock to the system. And that's what I ended up doing was moment by moment, day by day, knowing that I really couldn't understand exactly what was going on. I really couldn't grasp exactly what was going on. Yeah. You know, it kept changing the information. So trying not to get too caught up in the fear and doing the best that I could, supporting the healthcare workers, supporting our community in whatever way we can with signs and wherever we could. I felt like that was where I was with COVID.
Yeah. It's, I think more and more if people understood the impact that the news does on them, I call it a fear porn.
Oh, 100%.
Because it's insatiable. You want to know more information, but then when you dissect it, is it truth? Or is it somebody's agenda to put fear in you? Then they can manipulate and control you, because when you're in fear and you're grasping for answers, you don't know how to go within yourself to find some solutions. So people can, you know, change the agenda of those things. And everybody has their way of thinking and going about things. And there's power struggles in the world.
Yeah. And I love what you said, because the way you just described, like even the, you know, the news and the fear and everything, it was something that I noticed in my own self through my own personal journey that I was going through in 2020 and in 2021 and even current, but during that time that it was, we were isolated and, you know, in 2020 and everybody was home and homeschooling and whatever it was, online learning, you know, those kind of things. That's really exactly what you said, is that the fear from the outside, I was trying to manage that because I knew that I needed to go in to really understand what was going on within me and find the answers that existed in me. And that's how I work. It's not easy to do that. It is, I do think it has to be very intentional, consistent, and also compassionate with ourselves, because when we can't do it, because there are days that, and there are many moments that I cannot do it, but it is something that I am guiding myself towards on a daily basis, multiple times a day, to go in for my answers and to go in for my wisdom, to go in for my starting with knowledge into wisdom. So to discover my answers on my own, or allow my answers to unfold.
Mm-hmm. And it's a thing that's not really taught in the world, because when we're young, we're always told to seek the answers from others because we don't have enough experience to understand the world, where it's not given enough of, well, make your mistakes and you're safe to make your mistakes to find and discover things and then come to ask people some guidance. Yet a lot of us are always looking for other people to give us the answers because we don't have the confidence in ourselves to make mistakes. Because that's the whole thing about learning. And it can be so devastating inside when we do make mistakes and we're trying to discover unknown things, yet to have that confidence that you're okay with this learning, with this ability to listen intuitively. And I think, you know, what I see in some spiritual circles and conscious parenting or whatever there is, it's as if the scriptures make it that you're going to be such an enlightened being and there's going to be perfection. And it's like, no, it's called work for a reason.
Yes.
So when you fall off the path, you have something to work with, because if you didn't, what would there be to discover? There wouldn't really be a reason for you to still be here and do your curriculum of life.
Oh my God. That's what I say too. Why would I be here if I wasn't, like, I don't need to be on earth. I certainly don't need to be a parent if I knew it, everything, you know. And I love what you're saying, because it's so true. You think our path of conscious parenting and living would be like we're Zen, we're calm all the time. We don't make mistakes. You know, we don't repair because there's nothing to repair. We are always so attuned to our children and even ourselves, you know, and I think I repair every day. You know, I reflect every day, multiple times a day I reflect, you know, and I'm learning. I have a very, very, very harsh inner critic. So through, yeah.
I'm with you.
Yeah, hands up. We all have her or him. And so through silence and stillness and increased awareness, when I notice the harsh inner critic, I mean, I think, and it's the hardest thing for me is having compassion for myself when I do make a mistake, and I should be more conscious. Because I am a conscious parenting coach, but I am human and I wouldn't be here on earth. I call it earth school if I wasn't here to learn and grow and make mistakes and evolve.
Yeah. It's just like in my coaching, I'm very transparent of showing the errors that I do. Cause it's like, well, if you don't relate with somebody, you're not able to open up to learn. And we all had to find and fumble our way in areas to discover things. And so when things are more relatable, you're more open and willing to see things about yourself. So when somebody opens themselves up to show their flaws, their imperfections, the way they're blindly navigating through life, it's not that the person's going to that person to seek the knowledge. It's that a portal opens up in them to want to discover more about themselves.
That's so true. I think so much of what I share, talk about, write about really is my own personal journey. Because I'm just so connected to it. It's beautiful to share, you know, not that the clients are there for me to share it with them, but I just have so much more appreciation for the process. And I have so much appreciation for, like, for example, such a hard, big emotion like anger, which I have been in and out of experiencing, feeling, and sitting with. First projecting, let's be truthful and honest. First,
yes, it's a hot potato. That thing's a hot potato and pass that shit on, because I handle the intensity of this right now. Everything else, and it's forgetting. Yeah. Wait, it's an internal thing. No, it's everybody else.
Of course. So I have immense appreciation for others' anger, and I have even greater appreciation for myself when I can be with it and notice it and hold it. And it consumed me on Saturday, just a few days ago. And when I did sit with it and listen to it and honor it in a way, really kind of manage that inner critic that wanted to be mad at the madness, at the anger, but instead trying to, you know, love it and compassionately understand it. I got to tell you, the next day, I was able to choose me so differently from such a clear space that, and that to me is the gift I give myself. I hope I give that gift to others, because I don't know, I was different. I could feel it in my body. And I think energetically around me, I was different. And that to me was really, really powerful. And it comes and goes, the anger. It's not like it's all the time, but being really helping and guiding myself with support of beautiful other people too. Sometimes it's hard to see it sometimes, but to be able to be with just that anger is that emotion is so well known. Many of us really are familiar with it. So that's why I talk about that one. There are other ones also, but that's why I talk about that. That's something normally we can visibly see and feel and experience. Many of us experience it. So that's been these kind of things have been really, really life changing for me to really be patient and go in. And we are not, you know, Zen. We do feel anger, put the anger out there. We do our best not to put it on other people, but it happens.
Yeah.
And you know, we learn to forgive ourselves and move through it and try to understand it. You know, to be a lot more understanding.
A lot of people don't know to go underneath anger, don't know how to go in the underpinnings of anger and what really it is. And they don't understand the nervous system. Biology will always trump. And unless you have the ability to listen to the intensity of the emotion and not push it away, biology will trump over your behavior. It wants to protect you. And you're dysregulated. When there's anger, you're dysregulated because something feels like a threat. You feel violated, yet you're not able to articulate that into words because hence, probably as a child, you weren't allowed to. So you had to brew in it or shut it off and put on a smile or what there is, and you weren't able to give it a voice. And so when we're older and we have to navigate with these decades of internal waves that have been going on, when they come up and you're willing to face them, you're in the eye of a freaking storm. And it diminishes. Some of them are really vast, and then other ones are like, oh, this wasn't bad at all. Like, and that's where you see your work. And that's where you see being human, because I think the one thing, you know, trauma is a big word that's being said now. And what people are thinking that, well, I'm going to work on the trauma from my childhood. And it's like, yeah, you have that. Yet also know being a human is traumatizing. We are continuously going through trauma.
That's so true. That is so true. And, you know, and I want to just, I love what you just said. You're kind of, we're walking this path on our free flow conversation so beautifully, because it's like the next step was exactly what you said, what's beneath the anger, something that is newer for me that showed up through my inner work and some of the courses that I took last year was the pain of the shame that was underneath the anger. And that the anger was really almost because I was shutting everything down inside of me. And so I was muzzling myself. I was quieting myself. I was, you know, so if it wasn't being projected out onto somebody, it was being projected into myself. And that, I think it was the in my, I'm going to be 49 in a couple of days. And I think in 48 and a half years, I think it was as a younger, which is sort of common, like as a teenager, we put it out there, right? We project it out onto everybody. And it could be in it, also biology, right? The hormones and everything are coming up. So, and you're, and that's going on. But I think as I got a little older, maybe as I got children, as I had children and I need to be calmer and quieter, like it started to go in at myself. And I think what I've started to learn last year, again, because of COVID and the quietness and the solitude more going in, is that what something was sitting that was very, very, very old and very deep. It was so deep, it felt like it was in my bones at times. And that was the pain of the shame of, and I used to say things very loosely, like not being accepted, not feeling good enough, but it was even more than just those words. And that has been kind of my portal, if you want to say, my portal of, I say transformation, but I really want to say portal of speaking up, you know, again, and possibly that is what leads to transformation, but the portal of being more comfortable to share, more transparent to speak about it, because I don't want to shame the shame, right? My inner critic wants to shame my shame.
Yeah.
So, it still gives me, you know, still makes me emotional because it's almost an emotion of crying because I'm doing it and almost happy. Like the soul is like so happy that I'm actually putting, like expressing it. So it's like a combination of both the chills and like, you know, it's a little bit of both because it's the speaking up that what I have found, to be honest, what I found is to be where I have been healing, you know, where I have been able to be with all the emotions, whether it's anger on the surface yet underneath it, or whether it's the shame underneath it, that's really, really profound. And so just navigating this, and it's not every day, it's just when it shows up, I am present and available for it and know that it's my responsibility and part of my healing journey. So, and I think that's so beautiful what you're saying, because this is the process of going in. This is the process of going in and connecting back to ourselves, connecting back to ourselves. So
yeah. There's times where I have brain fog, where there's low energy. I don't want to do anything. I'm not motivated. And let me tell you, I had no idea what I needed until I tried Magic Mind. So I was a bit skeptic trying this Magic Mind, not thinking it was really going to do anything.
Let me tell you, I was so wrong.
Now, the reason I was skeptic is because it's all natural ingredients, such as ceremonial grade matcha, lion's mane mushroom, turmeric cumin. And you know what? I had no idea that it would lift my energy, drive focus, and boost my mood. What I had as procrastination before wasn't there. The brain fog was lifted. And, you know, I tried it in several different ways. I did it before a podcast. Another day I did it before having to coach a client. Another day I did it when I had to do physical activities with the twins. And each time there was clarity and energy. It was fantastic. Sharing is caring. And for you, the listener, I'm able to offer you a discount code. Yeah. For the next 10 days, you are able to get 40% off your subscription. Go to the link www.magicmind.co/lift and use my discount code LIFT20. You don't know until you try it. And let me tell you, I've tried it and I am a subscriber now. Don't wait.
Thank you for sharing, you know, the intimate parts and for people to hear what that inner work looks like and being able to articulate these sensations that are going on that we haven't been able to validate. Because that's a lot what we're looking for is we're looking for people to validate certain experiences because we didn't have that before. And then we don't think that we have enough power to validate ourselves. And so that's why it's so important too, to be able to be with somebody that can help you co-regulate your nervous system. And then you can have honesty and then witness so that you have the ability to validate yourself and go within.
That's so perfect because we are programmed, conditioned, brainwashed to look outside for validation. And I was getting validated from my shame. I was being shamed. So I was, right? But that was just keeping me stuck and in my trauma and re-traumatizing myself. So it's in a weird way, you use the word validation. So I kind of just picked up on that, but it was being reflected back to me is what it was in my relationships in the outside world. But the work really became when I started looking at it, right? When I started, and it was like, it's like a funny thing. I don't know. It's like, it was weird. Like, you know, it was being reflected back to me for so many years, for decades in my life. I didn't know. But because the reflection kept getting more and more painful and I kept not understanding it and I kept questioning it, first just doing it on my own, not through any sort of conscious parenting model or method or compassionate inquiry or coaching or anything, but just wondering what was going on. But when I understood and I actually asked for support during this process, that it started to become clear. And then if I am really truthful here, again, I'm being so transparent. This is like so hard. But what happened was, is I had support from people who were reflecting back to me, actually love. And reflecting back beauty and compassion, right? And in a weird way, I was starting to notice and appreciate it so much. I think I sort of started offering that to myself. So it was like, I was, you know, so appreciative of the support that I was receiving in that way, because I started to see something different. I started to see the possibility of something different, something that hadn't existed in my life for decades. What was shown to me was the continuous shame or, you know, guilt that was kind of sitting at the bottom, the not good enoughness at the bottom, right? But when I was reflected love and beauty and compassion to me, it was a unfamiliar situation, right? We know what that means. It was unfamiliar, but because I was open to it and I felt like I realized I was in a safe space because it was a space that I had chosen. I started to be able to go, wow, I think that's in me. I could actually give that to myself. And that has been heart opening for me probably the last 8-9 months. And it has been so profoundly healing and soul caring. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Thank you for sharing all this, because You know, as we're saying this, the ego wants to come up and be like, shut it. Don't say this. What are you doing? You're gonna, and it's like a type of self-sabotage. Yet what I know is true about my nervous system is that when I'm with other people, their self-judgment is disengaged. So that's why you're able to speak the way you're speaking right now, because I have an ability of just taking that self-judgment out, and you can just speak openly.
Yeah.
And it can be very challenging to do that because we feel like it's a threat and somebody will manipulate or look at us. But really, it's because it's going through that filter of self-judgment. So we're always trying to observe what we can say and how we can say it. But with my nervous system, there's a space where there is no judgment and people can speak openly. And then they get their ahas too of, oh, I can go deeper into this now. Because it's like an elephant in the room, like what you were describing. It's like I could see there was something there. I could feel it. It was getting worse. Yet it was like this elephant in the room that I just couldn't picture. I could see it in everybody else's room. Like, can't you see the elephant in your room? Yet I couldn't see the elephant in my own room, even though I knew it was there, yet it wasn't making itself known. And so when you disarmed yourself, the elephant started to appear.
Oh, it's so true. That's a great way of...
I just give visuals so that...
I was going to say, it's a great way because I'm actually visualizing what you're saying. As you're saying it, I'm actually visualizing. So I really appreciate that. That's a really great visual because you can't see your own elephant into the room. And I love that. And that's exactly how I sort of saw myself and continue to see myself when I do disarm. And I know you're really going back to the nervous system and it's so spot on. I do... a lot of breath work from my nervous system. I have become much more attuned. I noticed it was about last summer. I noticed that I live in survival. My nervous system is there. And first the pain of acknowledging that, noticing that, that's part of the process, right? That's part of our learning more about ourselves and having some compassion for ourselves. And when I started becoming aware of that, then really going in and doing some work and understanding the nervous system better, that has also been my guidance. And it's also been all the ways that I've been learning to check in with my body, check in with what I'm feeling, check in with my tightness, any heart beating a little faster. I noticed the anxiety that I think may have been there for a while, yet I was unable to feel it. I was not aware of it. And then it became so profound that I felt like I was feeling anxious all the time. But I think I was just becoming aware of it. That's what was going on with me. So all of these parts of us that I have been understanding, learning about, and attending to my nervous system on a very regular basis. And that's when I said, like, when I moved through the anger on that over the weekend, and then the next day when I kind of chose myself, and my nervous system, I could feel, and I use the word good kind of loosely, but I could feel that it was content. Mm-hmm. It was soft. It was in flow. Like I was there because of what I had done the day before. And then how from that place, I spoke up, spoke my truth and chose myself. It was a Mother's Day, not to like say to others, like, I don't want to be with you, but just for a little while and pick myself. It was a profound moment for me to see the difference of feeling my emotions and being able to care for my nervous system.
I want to bring this back because some people might have not caught that, how you had to justify just now your needs.
Oh, did I?
About the Mother's Day. And I just, it's not that I don't want to be with these guys, but I need to be. And it's like, it's okay to be alone.
So true. I totally did that.
We all do it because we don't want to offend or hurt somebody else, that it's like, I actually want to spend time with somebody that's really important, and it's me. And I don't want, and we feel that we have to justify that.
Oh my God. Well, I mean, but where does that come from? Yes, it exists in us. I mean, especially in mothers, it's like, whoa.
It's been indoctrinated throughout the centuries and centuries and centuries.
Can't pick yourself.
And then it's damned if you do, damned if you don't. Because then if you spend all the time and then you're irritated, impatient, wanting to be the B word. You get all these names and it's like, well, I don't feel fulfilled. You're not letting me have time to myself. Well, yeah. You can't have that. Well, if you want me to be better, then I need to have time with myself. So that's where you really start to break those belief systems and start going in this unknown path of, you know what? I got to find what's right for me, because the narrative that's coming out, this ain't working for me. Some of it does, some of it doesn't. Yet I don't even know what my own answers and solutions are. And the things that would make me feel good, why do they make me feel guilty and shameful for?
That's like the ultimate question. And like you said, it's generations. It's just indoctrinated in us, you know, and it just, it, and I just said, like, I mean, gosh, when are we going to get over that? Like, I don't have the answer. And maybe it's one day I am fine and one day I'm not. And yeah. it's a belief. It's in us. It's like in our blood. It's, you know, and I did. And I was like, I chose myself. I took my time. And I said, I'd like to, you know, it was weird in the external world, right? In my circumstances and my experiences, but I have to be honest, in my body, it wasn't weird. No. It was very, very aligned with me. When my kids were texted me when they were on their way home and we had plans for later on in the day, I was like, oh my gosh, you're already on your way home. I haven't even showered yet. I've been working. And somebody said, you wanted to work? I said, that was a choice I made. I was like, I'm going to yoga and then I want to work for a couple of hours. I love what I do. So I want to work. And it was just so funny because inside my body was aligned. Yeah. I remember noticing it and feeling it. And even when I went to bed, just like kind of almost proud of myself because I don't normally, it's not something I know. High-fiving myself. Exactly. But in the external world, there might have been a little bit, the human part of me might have been like, oh, I hope, okay, it's okay. And oh, I still want to be with my kids. I love being a mom. You know, it's Mother's Day, you know. So it was a little bit of both. But for the most part, what I did notice, the one that was stood out to me was the alignment inside my body. And that meant to me that was what I needed to do for myself. And I did, I spoke up. So these are new for me. These are newer things for me that give me so much appreciation for the journey that we're on of just, you know, the consciousness journey.
Yeah. Thank you. Cause you know what? We're a better world when you align with yourself. Oh my gosh. Yeah. We are. Yeah. Cause we're feeling bodies that think we serve in energy. It's all energy and frequency.
Yeah.
So you can say the kindest words and everything else, but inside, if it is all distorted, that's what people are feeling. Mm-hmm. It's not the words.
Right.
And yeah. So, you know, and you're able to listen in such a deep way when you're able to listen to yourself. So when you're with other people, you're able to do that deep listening.
Yeah, I you're right. It's like, it almost is, it's really natural in a way. I remember feeling attuned to my family in such a clean way. Like I wasn't, there was no, it was just pure listening and pure joy. It was a beautiful experience, for me. But the day before I was feeling through lots of pain. I mean, that's what I was doing almost the whole day. Yeah. I was just feeling my pain and my sadness and my, whatever the emotions were, and I was being with them.
Yeah. And you released them.
Yeah. I released them. So then the next morning was a different day for me. And mm-hmm. that to me was really my understanding and the feeling, the depth of like, what is pain and how we can, as we move through it, that's how we transform. That's how we, you know, we say pain is the portal of transformation, but that's what I experienced on those particular, you know, 48 hours of moving through it. Yeah.
Because what, you know, the saying where, you know, pain is inevitable, but suffering is optional. It's when you were with those emotions, you became aware of the suffering that your mind has been doing to yourself, the psychosomatic.
Spot on. That is exactly right. I was paying attention to my thoughts. I was paying attention to, you're spot on. Yeah. Exactly right.
And so when we can sit and then change that narrative, and the healing is shifting your perception. And so when you're with those emotions, usually you just listen to that recording and you become it. You're like, oh yeah, this is how I need to feel. You feel the clenching, the tension in your body. Yet once you start to observe and you go back and you relax and let the wave go through, you're allowing the nervous system to do whatever it has to do with its recording to try to get you in survival mode. Yet you're letting it pass through and you're releasing it. You're releasing the fear. Because a lot of those emotions, it's just fear that has been harbored inside that needs to be released. Yet what do we usually do with emotions? We use it as direction. We're going to take action. We're going to do this. We don't know how to listen to the information and be with it. And so the more that we do that, then we release it. We release the narrative of the nervous system, because the nervous system is anchored in problems. It's there to keep you alive. Yes. It's built out of fear. You have to honor the nervous system, because if not, you'd be dead. Like, it's always looking to protect your vessel. And so your essence is housed in the nervous system. So you know you can be abundant and you're not the body and you're not this, yet you need this vehicle to be able to experience this world. Yet this vehicle is always anchored for problems. And you have to learn to no longer identify that and take control of, wait, let this pass, let it go through, and let me hear what's in the stillness.
Wow.
Yet it takes work to have that ability, and we fall off of it. And sometimes we're like, yay, I got it today. And other times it's like, oh, it took me a few hours to come out of this thing that, and then you're like, oh, but I didn't use my practice. And it's like, it's the work. Biology is a very powerful thing.
I think what you're saying is so true, is the work. You know, I was just thinking earlier today, being on this path for so long, it's like, I even asked myself the question, like, why did it take me so long to get here? The ego talking, wanting the, I should be further along. I should. But what I noticed was, and I think I remind myself of this, it seems to show up every so often that I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be. You know, as I become more ready, whatever that ready means, whether it's like just reading or tools or, you know, getting more diligent about my meditation practice, or, you know, I love to do meditative walks. And as I, you know, as I take care of myself and put the right things inside of me, not just food, but in my mind and my heart and my soul. And I do those things as my, I guess, as my soul and as my maybe subconscious trusts me more that I won't abandon it, then I can hear what they have to, it has to say to me, right? Cause I allow that. And I feel that has been something that's kind of newer for me. Again, maybe I'm just more aware of it happening more recently, is that listening to it, less kind of talking to it. Cause I've tried, many of us try those affirmations and this, but I think that, right. No, that wasn't, that's not
it's the
like way.
Telling somebody, don't be angry.
Yes, exactly. Calm down.
Don't be sad.
Yeah, right. No, that wasn't, and I never felt aligned with that at all. But what I've started to become aligned with is listening. And maybe I hear nothing. It's okay. But I'm giving room to hear. I'm giving room to feel. And that has been, or maybe just the quietude has helped me, you know, do that some days better than others, but to do that better. It makes me, you know, I mean, we look for how to be happy. This is how I find my happiness, my joy, you know, when I do move through sometimes the harder emotions, which is maybe less happy, but at the end of the day, I come out and I'm just content. I am neutral. And that sort of makes me happy. Mm-hmm, that sort of that neutrality sort of keeps me grounded. I feel very grounded. But I like what you said, because we are, you know, it is really understanding of the nervous system, which is hard to do. You know, it's so automatic, right? The autonomic, it just happens. You don't feel like you don't have any control. And many times when it is anger, those bigger emotions that we see and are kind of at that top, you know, it just happens automatically. You don't think about it. It's there to protect you. Like you said, you know, it's a protection.
I just want to circle back where you were saying that you feel that you should be further along in your path.
Oh, yeah.
If you can shift the word ready to willingness.
Oh, yeah.
Because it can be very scary to be willing to open yourself up because there may be disappointments.
Oh, most certainly there's disappointments. Huh. So true. Thank you
so
for
it's
that.
The refilling. Willingness of the uncertainty of pain. We protect ourselves from it. We think we put on this guard and we're going to usher through and it'll be okay. And it's like, you're actually not alive and you're limiting yourself to feel life.
Can you say that again? I loved that. I love that. And I want to just hear it one more time.
We usually protect ourselves and armor ourselves up, feeling that that is how we're going to be able to navigate through life. Yet to really feel alive and be aligned with life is that you have to be in the uncertainty of pain. We think we can control pain. Mm-hmm. We try to be proactive. We try to put all the things in place and safety. And then all of a sudden, bang, it hits you. And it's like, that wasn't supposed to happen like that. That's not. And it's like, you're forgetting to be aligned with life.
Wow.
And you have to remind yourself that you have the capacity to navigate through the uncertainty of pain. Yet when you've lived a life filled with a lot of pain, your armor is very thick. And it's your work to soften that, to be in the softness, because what it is that the sensitivity of vulnerability is repulsive to you. Yet that's where your power is.
Yeah.
But it will feel like you're begging other people. It will feel like you're a weakling. It will feel whatever narrative there is to try to keep you away from that sensitivity. And it's your work to remind yourself, oh, this is just overwhelming my system and I gotta give myself some space to process this and remember that the sensitivity of vulnerability is my power. I've been so habituated to be in armament that I forget, like, I can let this go. I can relax. But that's that survival ramping that goes on in the nervous system. It's just habitual. And then when you catch yourself and when you have people that are accountable to bring you back into your sensitivity. And not everybody, you know, I have the ability to do that because I'm used to the pit bulls when they come out. So when the pit bulls come out, I'm like, okay, I'm still going to bring you where you need to be. You may not want to hear it. You may not want to feel it. Yet if I plant the seed, then you have the ability to get there when you need to. And you have more of an understanding when these sensations come up, how you fell asleep. And the nervous system took over because, like I said, biology will always trump.
Yeah.
So that's where you fall asleep. That's the falling asleep that people speak about, is that the nervous system just took over because it wants to protect you.
Wow. That's a lot of good stuff there.
Yeah.
I'm going to take that all in. I'm processing.
Yeah. All these different things that are going to connect with you, and that you visually can see certain things with the nervous system, see the external, and really put a wholeness with a W with your journey, and to make it more simplified, because sometimes we go with too many different parts.
So true. Yeah.
And it's like, wait, simplify, just relax back, release the control. surrender the need to resist.
That's a practice.
In the parenting hall? Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Oh, we're God. Always being that inner critic in the parenting role is always going at it.
So challenging in the parenting role. You're reparenting yourself. You're doing a lot of your own growth and resetting, and, or is that the right word?
Yeah.
Learning to let go, resetting of the nervous system. First, you're learning about your nervous system. I mean, my gosh, you're just starting to witness it. I never witnessed my nervous system until very recent.
Yeah.
And so just witnessing it and watching it and learning about it. And then also to guide your children
through theirs.
It's certainly a journey.
It's remarkable. And then once you go through it, like you have to have the ability to, like you said, have compassion and patience with yourself.
Patience.
And remember that patience is a very slow moving process. It's not passive.
Yeah.
And it's not fast. It's just a slow moving process. A lot of people want their transformation of a miracle and whoo, it's just all gone. And it's like, actually, the 1% consistency is what creates change.
It's the small steps. For me, it's small steps. The three words I might say to myself when I wake up in the morning, if I notice that I'm already going in the morning, many times before I've even, stepped out of bed, I'm already going. So if I notice that, just those three words that I might say to myself, or five words, that little step kind of changes my morning, changes my day, right? So I love what you said, that 1% consistency. And you're so right, patience. It's like we also threw that word around a lot, have more
We used
patience.
It the wrong way.
It doesn't seem like even that's like what we were talking about. What I recall being said when be patient is like, well, don't be the way you are.
Yeah.
Really at the end of the day. Yeah. Don't be how you're being right now.
Don't be persistent. Don't be curious.
Have some patience. Yeah. Right. But that's more like just, can you just do what I'm telling you to do, please?
Exactly.
Right? Maybe with the please, maybe with not a please at the end.
Yeah.
So this patience that you're talking about is something also that we're not used to.
No.
We're not used to it. And it is consistency, intention.
Mistakes.
Oh,
look at that.
Exactly. Mistakes. I love how we both said that word right at the same time. Mistakes. And, and learning and just learning, learning about yourself and surrendering. That's such a big one too. Again, these are not words. Really, I feel like these words might've been said to us in our years of living, and they just had such a different meaning behind them.
They did.
They weren't used properly. Patience is such a good one. It's really, you're telling your kids, stop wiggling, stop moving, stop being a five-year-old is what you're saying. And you're using the word patience. And then here you are at 48 years old. You're like, is this patience? Should I be, what's patience look like? Now you're questioning all your language and all the words that you know too. I've become such a big questioner of like language. I'm like, no, that's not the word I want. I need to really understand what this feels like and means to me. That's so funny. But when you were saying patience, that's what I was thinking. I was like, I've heard this word all my life, and I don't think that's what it means. It was really be the good girl, stop moving, stop talking.
It's behavior tactics.
Behavior. Yeah. Change the behavior. Exactly. Yeah.
And yet then you don't even ask why the behavior's there.
Oh no,
it takes too much time.
Yeah.
Have patience. We don't have time for that. We don't have time for that.
But then who's the one who really doesn't have patience?
Exactly. I'm going to bring you into a reflective question.
Okay.
So I'm going to, I know it's like, we've been reflecting really deeply.
I was just thinking to myself, I'm like, you want me to be more reflective? How much more do you want from me? Goodness.
I told you we were going to do some deep diving. So
you did.
That's right. Get your scuba diving gear
ready. Water ready. Uh-huh.
I'm going to have you take your awareness right now and bring it back to your 18-year-old self and feel into that. And you're only able to tell your 18-year-old self three words. And three words that would help throughout the journey. What would those three words be?
You are lovable. And another word, another one, you are accepted.
I let the silence be there so you could feel it.
Yeah. Oh, I'm feeling it. Oh, yeah.
And so you can connect into it. And see that you gave yourself those words and you were there with yourself the whole time. Even though it may feel like you weren't, yet you were. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
Is there anything you'd like to leave the listeners?
Gosh, the last 8, 9, 10 years I've been on this journey have literally changed my life. Sometimes I don't even know who I am. Maybe that's a good thing, you know, as I'm unfolding into who it is that I already am inside of me. I would like to say, and then this is one of my things, this is where I began my journey, and that's exactly how I feel, doing the work, like we were calling it, whether it's a conscious parenting journey, whether it's compassionate inquiry, whether it's gentle parenting, reparenting, and if you're not a parent, the work that you do. For me, it is that the more I gift myself this love and compassion and healing and acceptance of who I am, I can notice that I can give that to my children. And all I ever wanted when I became a mom was for my children to know that they are accepted exactly the way they are. Little did I know 16 years ago that that was a wound in me that was kind of, I was putting out there. But at the same time, as I heal that wound, I can more authentically, truthfully, vulnerably, hopefully pass that on to my children and break cycles of self disconnection, right? I feel like disconnected to myself. So those are my words. Like, there is nothing greater than this work. I don't know. There's nothing greater than it. So as I heal, as I watch myself, it is a gift that I am so lucky that I'm giving to myself. I don't even know how that happened. I don't know how
you were willing. You were willing.
I was willing. My soul was, the needs of my soul were getting louder they were getting louder.
Yeah.
The inner tantruming was getting louder. Mm-hmm. And because of my beautiful children, I listened. I sort of listened and I said, you know, what's going on with me? Mm-hmm. So I mean, the hard and the soft of the work that we do.
Yeah. Where can the listeners find you?
They can find me at Shifting with Shalini. So that's my Facebook, Instagram, my website. Currently, since it's May, I have a special that I love to do in the month of May because it's my birthday month.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
It's my son's birthday actually today.
Oh, yes. I saw a happy birthday to your son. I'm in 2 more days.
Okay. Tauruses.
Yeah. Tauruses. So I love in the month of May because of the healing journey that I've gone on in the last 12 months, I really love to offer a deep, deep discount to anybody who would want to have coaching. So I do that in the month of May. So that's being offered right now. You can find it on my Facebook page, on my Instagram page, on my website. It's all there. If you'd like to get onto my emails, I send out emails. Also, again, shiftingwithshalini.com. You can sign up right there. And yeah, those are the ways to reach me. Those are the ways to reach me. I'd love to do webinars for teens, conscious communication, conscious conversations. I have another one. I do have one coming up at the end of this month on May 22nd. Again, all the information is on my website. So those are the ways to reach me. And I'm just so passionate and just love this work so much. It has changed my life. So
thank you. Thank you for being you. Thank you for the work that you are putting into yourself, which becomes the gift for the world. And I appreciate the service and the one in a million that you keep working with. And I'm sure there's more than one person that has been able to shift and open up their life because of the work that you offer to others. So thank you so much for being you.
Thank you for being you. Thank you for reaching out and having me as a guest. So grateful. Thank you.
I think I might have you again because this was just very free flowing. So I hope you'll accept again. Yeah.
Absolutely. I am here. And it felt so natural. And it felt really, the space was beautiful to be myself. So,
yeah. Remember to be kind with yourself.
I will. Thank you for the reminder.
Hey, you made it all the way to the end. Thank you for your time. It's greatly appreciated. If you found any value in this conversation, please share it out with a friend. Help us grow the dialogue. Let us create the safe spaces of healing. You can find more information at www.liftoneself.com. Until next time, be kind with yourself.